Art can inspire, provoke, entertain, and console. But can it change the world or individual lives in a practical way? A Bloomington woman is drawing upon her musical talents and her mixed Iraqi-American heritage to help raise funds for organizations helping Iraqis and others from the Middle East to resettle in the U.S. Aubrey Cedar reports.
Can you introduce yourself for me?
Yeah, my name is Dina El-Safar, and I'm the leader of Salam, which is a Middle Eastern band that's based here in Bloomington.
Dina grew up as the daughter of an American mother and an Iraqi father in the Chicago suburbs.
My dad was the youngest of a large family, and he was the only one to leave Iraq. So it was kind of a big deal, and it was just all due to his very high grades in school. He got scholarships and was able to go abroad. Well, I think he was really driven, and so he was just kind of excited about living in the U.S. Actually, he loves the United States. Like, he's so proud to be an American citizen. I think he felt like things were very limited in Iraq for him, and that here the sky was the limit. He has a real pride for this country. He's, of course, proud of being an Iraqi, too. But he was, like, sort of happy to leave, I think, in a way.
Dina's parents exposed her to many cultures as she grew up. She had a talent for music, and she started to play violin when she was just 5 years old.
And then I got into high school, and it was a fantastic music high school, too. So it was public, but a really good orchestra program, and we wound up touring Europe with the high school orchestra. We went to Germany and Austria, and then I joined some orchestras in Chicago, like the Civic Symphony and another youth symphony, actually. And so I was very much steeped in classical music. And then, you know, then I go to these Iraqi parties and hear the music of the Arab world. But I didn't really put it together till I was almost finished with high school when we went to Iraq, and I heard the music and thought, I could do that. I can hear those notes, I could play them. And, you know, that was the beginning of me playing Arabic music.
Dina started playing Middle Eastern music one night at a party in Iraq when her family urged her to play Arabic music on her violin instead of Mozart and Bach. From that night, she was hooked.
It was a whole different, like, emotional connection. I love classical music, but it was always like I had to train my mind for classical music. But with Arabic music, it was more like an instant emotional connection. And I just felt incredibly inspired. Like, it was a whole new world that opened up to me. Eventually, I moved to Bloomington, which is a place that really embraces multiculturalism, and found like-minded musicians. And we just, I was like, do you want to start a band? We'll play Arabic music. And they're like, yeah. So it was, I was in the School of Music here, which is now called the Jacobs School.
These willing and curious friends, together with Dina, started the band that would become Salam. Iraq is one of the countries affected by the travel ban recently signed by the president. Although it saddens Dina to see her home country once again acting out their fear of her father's culture, which is also her own, she says she's almost used to it.
It's really very heartbreaking, but it's so heartbreaking, I'm a bit toughened up to it by now. It's just like nothing surprises me anymore. I also feel this huge responsibility because I am like a bridge between two cultures that are kind of at war with each other. And I'm like, I have no choice to be that bridge. It's interesting because my brothers are the same. Like, we're all three kind of feel like this mission that was maybe foisted on us by current events, but to kind of show a friendly, decent face, I guess you could say, of this culture that is otherwise maligned, you know. So showing like, hey, we are Iraqi, we're American, we're cool, we're nice, we're productive members of society, we pay taxes, whatever it is that you need to say to kind of like legitimize a a group of people that if you just listened to some of the news headlines, you would think the opposite of all those things I just said.
Dina's sense of responsibility for those affected by the immigration ban compelled her to find a way to help. After the executive order on immigration slashed federal funding for Catholic Charities and the Exodus Refugee Organization, Indiana University's No Lost Generation student organization threw a fundraiser for the agencies.
So this fundraiser is to raise funds for Exodus and Catholic Charities, who are the two main refugee resettlement agencies in Indianapolis.
Maureen Bouchard is the fundraiser for No Lost Generation.
Because of the executive order that was signed by President Donald Trump, they are getting their funding cut, and so they are doing everything they can right now to raise funds. And so No Lost Generation here in Bloomington is helping to raise funds for them so that they can keep their services and help refugees.
In addition to fundraising, No Lost Generation focuses on the children who are affected by the Syrian crisis.
We try to raise awareness about the possible loss of a generation of children affected by violence and displacement.
The group seeks to gain traction beyond the campus walls as well.
No Lost Generation, basically what we do, was idea is to educate not only the students here at IU, but the whole Bloomington campus, the whole Bloomington community about refugees, supporting refugees, raising funds. And so a lot of our funds, like how today, go to Exodus, which is in Indianapolis, and you know, Catholic Charities in Indianapolis.
Bilal Khan is the co-president of No Lost Generation. In organizing this event, Bilal quickly found support for their mission within the community.
So we reached out to a bunch of events, but these ones especially, they had a real interest and drive. You know, they were fully they're fully supportive behind us. They were really involved about the idea. You know, they liked it. For example, like Anatolia and Falafel, they, as soon as we asked them for help, they're like, yes, we got you. You know, how much do you need? Anything? Like, you know, they were really behind the idea. So it really thankful for them.
My heart really goes out to the refugees. They're many from Syria, but they're also from Iraq, Afghanistan, these places. And I think Americans can't even imagine what these people have gone through and why they have traveled so far to find a new place to live. I mean, it's so hard to even read the daily articles. And so I just, if I can help with my music, that makes me feel really satisfied, because it's like, I don't have a lot of money. It's not like I can just go and like send $1,000 to the, you know, these organizations. But if I can help raise $1,000 with my music, then that makes me feel really happy.
There is an opinion among artists that art, whether visual, musical, or performative, can shape our world and can change things for the better. Dina has a complicated relationship to this idea.
I mean, I go back and forth on that, because sometimes I feel like, you know, all the big decisions are not being made by artists. They're being made by these power-hungry people that are the farthest thing from art that you can imagine in terms of the way they think and their approach. I don't know. I'm a little torn about it. I'm doing what I do, but I don't, you know, for one thing, I haven't been able to make the world a better place. It's less safe than it was when I started Salaam. Like, Salaam started in 1993, and it was after the first Gulf War. And I just, when the second Gulf War started, and 9/11, and all these other things, and it just makes me feel so helpless and frustrated. I don't know. I'm being honest with you. I do what I can, but it feels like, you know, my level of effect on the culture is very limited because of who likes music.
Nonetheless, Dina does participate in a form of musical activism that she's convinced can help Middle Eastern people make strides towards equity. That is, to normalize Middle Eastern music as a musical genre in America.
And it's like, that's what I mean about it kind of like infiltrating in a, like, this kind of subtle way. It just, hey, you know, that made my song sell like a million copies because I put that little Arabic string section in there or something. I actually do get hired to do things like that for, you know, there's a lot of recording studios around Bloomington, and I have been a guest artist on people's albums where they're just like, do your thing. And I'm just, okay, you know, you're giving me free rein. And you, I know they want an Arabic sound. Like, they're not Arabic at all. They're singer-songwriters with guitars, and but they just want something outside of what they can create themselves. And I don't know, I see that happening more and more with other Arabic musicians I know too. They're doing more collaborations, and that's really cool.
Although she's enthused by the cultural mingling she sees in the studio, Gina was heartbroken by the executive order on immigration. Then, what she saw Americans doing for their fellow man afterwards really moved her.
I think it was the last weekend in January. People showed up at all those airports, like LAX, O'Hare, JFK. That really touched my heart because I've never seen people so activated and also speaking up for the people that don't have a voice. And I feel like if we see more of that, we can help shape this world into a more humanitarian place. And it really is, to me, kind of a numbers game. Like, I just want to see throngs of people come out and say that they have a higher conscience, you know, that they want to help people that need help and not turn their backs on them. And so there are things that have really actually encouraged me lately. And I just hope to see people keep that up. I feel some momentum in that direction. So I feel like that's really the only way to counter this other very powerful group that are trying to oppress or suppress, you know, these downtrodden people.
I think there's about 80 students that are affected by this executive order at IU.
Maureen Bouchard.
And they have been looking for families, host families here in Bloomington that would be willing to welcome them over spring break, over summer break, for example. I also know that the Department of Near Eastern Languages had some applicants withdraw their application just because they were afraid to come to the U.S. to study.
Neither Catholic Charities nor Exodus Refugee Organization responded to requests for interview for this piece. As long as No Lost Generation is around, though, they'll have a team of student fundraisers in their court.
You know, at the end of the day, we're all humans. If we turn our back on each other, who else do we have, you know?
Bilal Khan.
You show people love, you show people, you know, respect, you show people all the basic human rights they deserve because that's what's entitled to them. I don't think we have any right to tell people they're not welcome here. If you look at the history of the United States, you know, everyone at one point in their lifetime, whether ancestor has been an immigrant or a refugee, and, you know, welcoming people with open arms, it's just something we should do. We need to be more open about.
For Cafe Indiana, I'm Aubrey Cedar.